wird gehalten von jemandem, den ich ja fast am liebsten vorstellen würde als, also wenn ich mir so einen Superhelden ausmalen könnte, dessen Superkraft Informationsfreiheit ist, dann wäre dies Arne Semsrott.
Thank you. Thank you. After such an introduction, you can only lose. Thanks for everyone who's here, and nice that we're here together. Let's go. That's just one aspect. We've gone further than just hacking with computers. Social hacking, reality hacking. Last night, someone said, what is opening up a computer compared to opening up society? How does that happen? Through freedom of information. That is... That's the promise of freedom of information. This is one of the promises of the CCC, and that's what we're working on, to open up the society using freedom of information and with open access to information. And this is really not a new demand, but 1988 was the first time that Wau Holland demanded this right here. 1988, that's what it looked like back then. The promise, an open society through freedom of information. To create this, we need laws about freedom of information. And now let's look at the last 4 years of freedom of information, because it's been a while since we've been here together. And if you look at this map right here, where there is freedom of information, IFG, and you can see almost everywhere, there were even some changes. There's also one in Saxony, so only Lower Saxony and Bavaria. And I should say, of course, also not in Bavaria, there is no Freedom of Information Act. So therefore, everywhere, we have the right to receive information from the state. Let's look at Europe, and we can see there are only two countries without a Freedom of Information Act, Belarus and Austria. So Belarus and Austria, countries, so a country with a government that is as corrupt as Putin and Belarus. But this will change in Austria, because next year they will probably receive a Freedom of Information Act. So wonders are still possible. If we look at the last 4 years, there's way too much to report about freedom of information. So there are some topics that we cannot talk about. And if we had one in 2021, we would have probably talked about this. Pimmelgate, a story from Hamburg. There was a police raid because a Twitter user called a senator of Hamburg a dick. And then in the Red Flora, they drew this on the wall. And then there was the police. And then people came and put the message back. And then the police came. And in the end, the Red Flora has won against the police. The Freedom of Information request for this on Frag den Staat is one of the ones with the most followers ever. And there was actually one person who had to give up their position through the result of a request of Freedom of Information. So this was related to Dr. Giffey, and after that we've never seen it again. Nothing happened, no problems. Well, there was an impact, so nice that she had to step back. And this also happened. The Federal Institute for Risk Assessment has sued us. We talked about this last Congress because we published a report about glyphosate. And they tried to force us to take this down, and they failed. And we went from court to court up until the federal court, and even there they lost. So the takeaway is, if you try to use copyright censorship laws against us, you will lose. And if you calculate how much it cost them, it was more than a few hundred thousand euros. And the promise of freedom of information, it is possible to actually take it up. What do you need apart from donations? Files. Lots of files. Neo. No one has ever asked for so many files. Your donations make it possible.
I could really look at this thing all day. So Stefan, back in the COVID times, learned Blender, and now he's showing it to all of the members of the team. The pandemic really was quite successful for us. But yeah, so this is something that we did a lot the last year and the last couple of years, to use these laws to get lots of information and work with it and get some more of those. And for example, for the airport BER, we were able to get lots of documents from Berlin and the state to find this refugee center there, the deportation center, and which was planned without some oversight and did some really weird things with various investors, and we could actually prove that with various documents. And we could show how some SPD politicians worked together with Russian state companies, especially the Climate Fund of Mecklenburg-Vorpommern. We published some 100 documents there, which actually made it that that foundation will soon be closed. We published this, which is one of the last letters that Horst Seehofer wrote as Minister of Internals. And in August of 2020, he asked the EU Commission to allow for more deportations to Afghanistan. This was only a couple of days before the Taliban took took force there. And this is somewhat what Horst Seehofer left there, and he will soon become 75 years old, and I wish him 75 cakes for that. Okay, or this one. We got lots of internal documents for on the financing of political parties, also concerning the Isiderius Erasmus Foundation and the Friedrich Ebert Foundation, that donated lots to the AfD political party. And they, we took a lot of work on educating on that. The paper that we did on this was also read by the Court of Justice. And 2 weeks ago, the new financing law for political parties was passed, which will actually prevent the AfD getting money from foundations near to the state. And in between, maybe not quite the same thing, but sometimes you might want to look at other things that are possible with the Freedom of Information Act. There are some things from Tübingen, and actually the mayor there still answers the requests himself. Maybe like this. It says, "Do you have any hobbies?" Or, "I don't know what you mean, so I won't send anything." So if you don't want to look media.ccc.de anymore, maybe send a Freedom of Information Act to Tübingen. You might get a funny answer. One of the successes of the last couple of years was we finally got a document from the BND. We got the employee restaurant of the Federal Intelligence Service of Germany. And there are nearly no redactions except for a couple of things. Actually, there is one redaction near the contents of the food. Then we got some other stuff from the information agency. And there are also some information that they had to leak. And there was a screenshot of a leak from me that they internally passed on via email. And they added this as proof. And one of the interesting parts there is that the information, the intelligence agency doesn't even have a Twitter account. They don't even have a Twitter account. But if you look at the screenshot a bit closer, oh, you can see maybe they do have some sort of account. I think this is Snow White with blacked out eyes. So maybe if you see this account, let me know. This might be the intelligence service. This might be this open source intelligence everybody's talking about. And they also talk about a freedom of information, which isn't always redeemed. The German agencies learned a lot about this. And if you want to learn about what freedom of information can do for you, then you might actually only get the kind of information that actually exists. And lots of these agencies learned that once we went to the to a court of in Berlin, we asked for certain messages and that were apparently deleted, and they realized that, hey, the SMS of Merkel were actually deleted. And actually it's similar with the special fund for the German military. We are actually looking for documents regarding to this decision to offer 100 billion euros to the German military, and the government says there are actually three documents. So it's 100 billion euros, really quick decision, apparently only three documents. And all of those, of course, don't have anything to do with the actually chancellorship or Olaf Scholz. We have only a message from the Ministry of Management, and they decided that no, they don't have any closer documents to that. There are no documents regarding how 100 billion euros will go to the German Ministry of Defense, and we don't really know where this information is getting lost. And this promise of opening up the government through these information acts to the public doesn't really work. And sometimes also needs that this information is enforced to be available. And so we actually made a template for a law of transparency that some officials want to look into now, but we don't know if it's gonna be a thing. So next to the Freedom of Information Act, there's also the right of the press to receive answers to certain things. You might not get documents, but you do get answers to certain things. And we started this with this lobbyist that actually, interestingly, also was a chancellor once. And Gerhard Schröder actually still has an office within the German Bundestag and still used this office a lot to act as a lobbyist. And we put in a request about this and a suit about this. And actually, they said that we are an online medium, and online media actually aren't press, because press actually originates from the printing press, and you can only have press rights if you actually have a printing press. So we thought, hey, why don't we actually do a newspaper?
Fragdenstaat.de, the DE stands for printed. So we went to the upper court of administration and they said, oh, now you've got a newspaper, now you're press. So we're laughing about this, now we can do press law, now we are suing the federal president's office because he doesn't have to give any information about his pardons. However, now the court said that Fragdenstaat is not press because their printed document is only a satirical gag. So what's a gag? A gag is a joke. A joke is, for example, if the federal president's office is saying online media is no press, while the president is saying the democracy can't survive without press. That's a joke. when the guy who made up Hartz IV and says we need more courage, that's a joke. When the guy who did not want to take the German citizen Murat Kurnaz out of Guantanamo was saying we need more freedom and human rights, that's a joke. When Frank-Walter Steinmeier is coming to Rostock-Lichtenhagen and says right-wing terrorism, oh my god, no, we need more citizens asking for democracy. A few months later he says, oh, we need to stop illegal migration. That's a joke too. Which does not make you laugh and is no joke is the printed version of Frag den Staatsraad, made a second edition, and you'll find it here in the front, because where couldn't you distribute something printed better than at the Chaos Communication Congress, so anyone of you can come and take one afterwards. So here you can see that the promise of information access and praxis is not does not happen simply by
fighting for freedom of information is already part of this. So if we sue the EU Parliament because there is a Nazi in prison, but also at the same time a member of the European Parliament, and we want to know how much money is going to this Nazi in prison in Greece, who's also in the Parliament, but also starting a debate about what this is about. If we look at the internal handbook of the Police Berlin about pain measures, then of course this is about creating a public debate about this so that you can see what they are actually being taught at this police school and discuss how are you allowed to critique the police and how not. Because the reaction of the federal so he says the report of Frag den Staat is only the attempt to ruin our good image and discredit our professional police work. And directly above this screenshot, and I don't think we don't have to discredit anything. The police is very fine at doing that themselves. And that's how we automatically land at the NSU files, because everything around freedom of information is related to this. And this is about getting clarity about the NSU processes and how did they act during the murders and the racist behavior that followed, and the Hesse officer, the protection of constitution, where an officer of this office was sitting in an internet cafe and apparently didn't notice anything about this. And this report was supposed to be secret for 120 years. And we thought, no, this must be made public. But we thought this is very exhausting and perhaps we might be criminalized for this. And then we read a report about the chief of a faction of the Greens. And they said, okay, it would be possible that the office for the protection of the constitution might not be in a working condition anymore if this gets published. Of course, that's a joke. No, the reason why we did it is because the families of the victims wanted this, because they said, I want to know what's written inside. And we knew we couldn't rely on the state, so that's why, together with the ZDF magazine Royal, we published these files. And the direction was interesting, because the Federal Office of the for the Protection of the Constitution was actually very fast at starting judicial proceedings against us, much faster than actually the proceedings against the NSU themselves. And So the reaction there was that in principle it is such that the government of Germany is being very rule obedient, and we thought we might as well turn this into a slogan. So we always write this as the first sentence into our files when we file them with the courts. And they also said that this is not supposed to become more common. So we thought, what should we publish next? Please tell us, write it in the comments at media.ccc.de or on YouTube. And we published a few other things, for example, the Idiotentreff, which is called the Meeting of the Idiots, spelled incorrectly, a police chat group containing right-wing messages. And we also published things about the attack in Hanau. And we also took care of some other crimes, because in the past few months, if you look at what happened here in this republic, there were large-scale protests for climate justice and repressions against these activists. So currently, there is an attempt to declare the Last Generation as a criminal organization. Well, okay, so we thought, okay, thinking of criminal organizations, which others could there be? But what's really interesting here is the reasoning of the Bavarian Justice, which is actually in a secret report, which we were forbidden to publish, because it is actually a crime to publish documents from... there's the unlawful disclosure concerning judicial proceedings, and there's actually a few years that you could get as a result here. And we were really interested in finding out how repression really works and what is needed to declare an organization as a criminal organization. So therefore, we published these files. And of course, there was a reaction from the state attorney, attorney of Berlin. And currently, the proceedings are still ongoing. And I would love to publish them, the documents about this right now. But this itself would also be a crime. So this was kind of a judicial perpetuum mobile, creating infinite amounts of crime. But originally, we thought this might go a bit different. At the 28 C3, we launched Frackenstaat. At 32 C3, we said, sue the state. And now we wanted to destroy the state. We already bought the domain. But then it went a bit differently. We were sued by the state. And lastly, we actually just want to find out if this law is even constitutional. We believe it is not constitutional that it is illegal to publish files of currently ongoing proceedings, because the freedom of press is so important. Because the freedom of press requires that you must be able to discuss freely what is going on in these proceedings. But if we look in this gray area, then we come to this weird joint ministerial gazette, which is being published by the federal ministries. There is stuff like product safety, worker safety, lots of things in this joint ministerial gazette. But if you actually want to look at this, you go to the side of a private publisher, which is actually earning huge amounts of money. Precisely, they earn €1.70 for each 8 pages that are started. So if you wanted all of these, you would have to pay about €13,000. And even though they don't have the copyright to these documents, but they have the protection of this database that they built, and that's why they claim that you cannot continue publishing it. So last week we just published everything from the joint ministerial gazette.
3 days ago, this also showed up at myhotdeals.de, and it was the most hot deal in Germany, and all of you can just download it and use it freely. So we found out that the federal government already wanted to make this this accessible a few years ago, but it was delayed. So we wrote an email to the relevant office with the Ministry of Interior and just tell them, hey guys, we did what you planned. So, and we didn't get any reaction. So, okay, all the struggles about this promise of freedom of information, I think they end up at a very interesting EU authority, which is Frontex, the EU border police. So if we take a look at all those authoritarian turns and how discourse is being made smaller, Frontex is playing a big role. That's the EU border police, which responsible for many thousand people dying on the Mediterranean Sea every year, participating in human rights violations at the European Union external borders, and we worked a lot on them in the past years. We published their internal reports, we made some corruption reports of Frontex public, we made more of them public, and then we have an interesting quotation from the Frontex press speaker public, and he's saying, I'm afraid some people who have long opposed well-protected EU borders have played a bad joke on this German comedy show. So we think this was a good nice testimonial on a website, people who have long opposed well-protected EU borders. We quite like this as a description. And we also sued Frontex. It was the first Freedom of Information Act lawsuit against Frontex at all. However, we lost. So two days before we could. And they claimed costs of proceedings of 23,000 euros. So,
so we looked about declaring bankruptcy, and so we tried to figure out what we can do around that and not pay those 23,000 euros and 700 euros and 81 cents, which is actually 1 cent more. And so they said, okay, we can go down to 20,000 euros and 57 euros and 39 cents. And we said, no, we're not going to pay for that. So we made a petition, and a couple hundred thousand people signed it. And the parliament did a resolution and demanded that Frontex would retract that offer. And so they actually went to court against us. And the European law said you don't have to pay it, only half of it. So 10,000 euros and 500 euros, which was barely what we could manage to scrap together. So we went to various banks and actually got the money from them. And actually, the EU laws didn't say how to pay this money. So we thought, okay, we'd write a letter to the finance department of Frontex that we would come by to their Brussels office and bring the money by in cash. And actually, 3 days later, he says, no, please don't bring the money that way. And we said, no, sorry, the train tickets are already booked. And so we tried to figure out how to find them. It's actually really difficult to find them, and they don't actually say where their office is in Brussels. And then in a wonderful on a wonderful website called OpenStreetMap, we actually found it. The address was actually entered by a certain Arnese. I think he might be Italian or something. And so we went there, and actually the evening before we made some photos and told them that we're so excited to meet them. So we actually went and got a suitcase and actually went there, counted the money a couple of times, maybe rang again, waited again, rang again, and figured out how to actually ring this bell. And for some reason, nobody came to the door. For some reason, there were only some police officers there. And actually, Frontex had evacuated the entire building. Apparently, they feared getting this money from us, so they emptied the entire building for some reason. And so maybe nobody was there because they had some sort of appointment or something. No, actually, all of the internal documents on this case were actually, of course, demanded from Frontex. Inquired from them, and it's really great to read about this. So every day they had security briefings back and forth whether these people would come with the money, and they said, although maybe they might cancel the protest, but it doesn't seem very likely. And in the end, we didn't actually, we weren't able to get rid of our money there. And I think this is the first time they really didn't leave anyone there, and I think this was the first time that Frontex actually fulfilled a civil demand from the public. And so we had this money and we went to the bank and said we would like to cash it back into our accounts, and they said, no, sorry, that's not possible. So for some reason we had now 10,000 euros in cash. And so, okay, we brought it back to Berlin. There was some sort of shady money transfer between Luisa and Hannah, who are our legal department. So anything she does is always legal, no matter what we do with that money, which is what we're going to get to later. So the address was, of course, known now from Frontex, which is kind of nice because Frontex got a couple of visits from, for example, one of the networks that we founded, Abolish Frontex, which actually is invested in abolishing Frontex and using the money that goes to Frontex for other causes, such as saving people at sea. And so they visited Frontex and maybe made themselves noticed a bit, which was kind of nice. And the police actually was very interested in this, and they wrote about it, and not anyone, but Europol actually. And Europol called Abolish Frontex within a anti-terror report. And if you think, wow, that's really impressive, then having Abolish Frontex next to Walter Lübcke and the attack of Halle, actually, those are not counted as terror because those were only individual actors. And that's why Abolish Frontex is actually somewhat by itself there. And now, since, okay, maybe Frontex doesn't want us to come to them, how is it that how can we maybe get some Frontex members to come to us? So we looked around a bit, how the leaking possibilities looked within Frontex. There unfortunately weren't a lot of people, so we made a leaking platform just for Frontex members. And we tried to make it such that Frontex officials would actually see it. So you can see in the background there the Frontex main department in Warsaw, and for a couple of months in all of the bus stops around and also right across from it. We actually put up these signs, and we also tried to get one of those planes with a banner to fly across, but that unfortunately wasn't allowed. Okay, maybe not everything happens when you want it. And we had some money left over because of that, and maybe how you can reach people as well is maybe LinkedIn. Actually, you can really specifically target people on LinkedIn, and you can target international police, and you immediately get all of the Frontex people. And so we inserted this call to leak information, and they got instructions on how to do that. And so we laughed a lot about and of course we thought, why not sue them again? And of course this time we didn't do it alone, we did it together with Sea-Watch. And the nice thing with Sea-Watch, because those are just really kind people, that's why we do basically everything together with Sea-Watch. But another aspect of this is that the next time we get an invoice from Frontex, and the next time they're going to get a visit again, and maybe there's going to be a couple more people. And I think that's we get across quite well that this demand for freedom of information means a lot more to us than just having the information, but it also is about how to organize oneself. And in the last couple of years, we really broadened our scope in how we understand this idea of information of freedom. We founded this anti right, law enforcement foundation. And so if you get a lawsuit from maybe somebody from a right-wing area, from a Nazi, for some sort of research that you did, then you can come to us and we're going to support you with legal support and advice. And we also went on a bit into the question of what does this public solidarity even mean in the current times. And so we did some more research together with the ZDF magazine Royal and investigated how maybe the state discriminates against poor people. And we found that actually every year between 7,000 and 10,000 people go to jail because of not paying for fares on public transit, and these people maybe can't pay for the increased fare that they would have to pay and therefore have to go to jail. And this law is really harsh and not really well related to other laws and penalties, and you have to look into the history of this law a bit, and then you find out it's from 1935. And actually, practically, this looks like this: if a person didn't ride with a ticket for two times, which is a damage of €5.20, they have to pay €2,200 of damages, of penalties. And this happened quite a lot, and a lot of people maybe don't have the money to pay for new tickets after having to pay a fine like this, and that might lead to people not paying this fine and not being able to pay this fine. And if you can't pay that kind of fine, then you might have to go to jail. This is the replacement jail time, basically. And together with the ZDF magazine Royal, we did some research and we figured out that actually you don't have to pay this money by yourself. Anyone can pay this fine for you. And actually, we thought, hey, maybe we want to free some people with this funding from the show. And actually, how do you do that really quickly? Actually, you take some cash and you go to the jail. And so we got the names of a couple of people that we wanted to free for riding without a ticket. And we needed around €20,000. And we thought, where would we get those?
Half of it we already had, and the other half we quickly borrowed. And everything, of course, that we did was legal. And we just went to the prison in Berlin with about €20,000 in a shoulder bag, like hipster. And we went to the payment register and we told them the names of the people we want to buy the freedom of. And in the background, we could see the people getting out of jail. And we saw, okay, this actually works. This works. This is very interesting for many people. We create an organization out of this. And this is the Fund for Freedom, which buys humans out of jail. And if you look at the stories of these people that are in prison because of this, and it's often something like this, it's often people in an acute psychological crisis or without housing or who lost their partners recently, who are really suffering, who aren't able to open their mail, or maybe they don't even have a mailbox because they don't have a home. And of course, this will make their acute crisis even worse. And the risk of suicide is very high in prison. And in the last 2 years, the Fund for Freedom has bought the freedom of over 900 people. In total, over 166 years of prison time. And something interesting is that the state actually saves a lot of money because each day in prison costs €200. And these 166 years that we got rid of would have cost the state €12.9 million So it's not surprising, therefore, an applause that we saved the state money here at the CCC, that's surprising. But we're compatible with the FDP, so this project really interestingly shows that there's a broad civil majority for buying the freedom of these people, and the majority of Germans are in favor of decriminalizing traveling without a ticket. And there are only a few topics where you have such a broad agreement across the spectrum of the parties, and this even in the case of a decriminalization and not a criminalization. And this led to the Parliament talking about this, and there were some expert sessions, and there was a debate about the replacement jail time if you cannot pay, and it was adjusted a little bit, so now you only have to sit in jail for half of the time you would have had to previously. But now if you look at how this worked in practice, it was a complete disaster, because this halving, which was supposed to arrive in October, it was postponed for 4 more months. And why? Because the software of the prisons. Yeah. Should I continue? You already know. So the federal states were unable to implement this change in their software, and therefore asked this to be delayed for 4 months. And when we talk about digitalization, we often talk about facts. And it's funny, but this is the real shit. This is people staying in prison for 4 more months, and these are people with a heightened risk of suicide while they're in prison, and the federal states are unable to implement this, and this has real consequences for these people. And I can only explain this by the fact that they just don't care about these people. But you know who does care? So who does care is the population. It's quite obvious. This is not our survey. This is from Infratest DMAP. We had nothing to do with this, at least not the Freedom Fund. Frag den Staat asked for this to be credited, and it clearly shows what the majorities are like in civil society. And even the FDP, just imagine me in the background talking to the FDP, and it worked. The coalition has decided 2 weeks ago that they want to get completely rid of 265A. Of the criminal law. It's not all perfect. They want to create a different type of offense out of this. We will have to talk about that another time. But at least there is something happening here. This is not fully finished yet, but we will. But if this really goes through, I will pay a beer for all of you here, but you will have to show your wristband. And I really think this is noteworthy, that we are actually getting rid of a criminal offense which was introduced by the Nazis, that this is being removed, in particular 88 years after its introduction. And that is, dear federal president, is a punchline. But we won't stop there, because I'm still not happy. This year, I'm politically feeling as bad as I have never before, and I've even cried as an adult. I don't know if this also happened to you. And we, there is a danger of an authoritarian change incoming. There's the climate catastrophe, there are wars, there are so many things that I can't even count all of them right now. And there was just a big shift in the debate that we noticed this year. And last week there were photos from Schwerin, which really touched me. This is the special armed forces that had to break into a church to evict an Afghan family, which was protected under the church amnesty. These are photos which they want us to get used to in the next years. And what the Greens are asking for when they want to push these people back to the countries of origin. And this is a change in an authoritarian direction, which we should not let happen. And this is also a signal to the civil society. If such Rambos from the police break into churches, this is also a signal to the churches and the society and those who are in solidarity with those affected. And the AfD does information request every year about NGOs that they don't like, because these are brilliant documents if you're unsure who to give your money to, because this is actually a perfect list for that. But of course, it's clear what's being prepared here is to reduce the room in which we can act and to further authoritarianism here. And it's about repression of climate activists, about the NSU, and it's about the asylum right. And we have to defend our action corridors, and we even have to try to increase them. And there is a photo which I think is quite fitting. It's Sisyphus. And what I never got about Sisyphus is, why is he doing it alone? Why can't they have fun? A much more suitable photo for Sisyphus would be this one. If we want to have a corridor of action, then this is by doing some action, by playing and by living life. And I would like to do that together with you. You don't have to do much, but you have to ask, sue, and have. So please repeat after me. Fragen, klagen, haben. Bit louder, please. All right. Are you ready? I want info, I want facts, I want access to the files. Also classified and better. I want info, I want facts, I want access to the files. I'm curious, so I'm going to fragdenstaat.de. I want all documents without state objections. Also VSNFD and a better IFG. I want info, I want facts, and I want access to the files. I'm curious, so I'm going to fragdenstaat.de. I want all documents without state objections. Also VSNFD and a better IFG. Infos from the top, without drama, digitally and also promptly. For my besties, only not on paper. We ask the state and nobody pays. You let me grow old. Too much time passes. I don't want to wait. I want to go straight to court when I ask. Info from the EU states. Disk full of your data. The best cards in court. I want to ask, sue, have. Want papers that pile up. Want to reveal secrets. Want all my friends to always threaten with new lawsuits. I want info. I want facts. I want access to the files. I'm curious. So I'll ask the state for everything. I want all documents without state objections. Also VSNFD and a better IFG. whistleblowing and more leaks. I'll get what I'm entitled to. Lost and found office for your dossier, where everyone can find it. Sharp swords against the right, an alliance and a few crimes. Because the information should be free. I want ask to have one paper set pile up, one secrets revealed. Want all my friends to always threaten with new lawsuits. I want info, I want facts, I want access to the files. I'm curious, so I'm going to fragdenstaat.de. I want all documents without state objections. Also VS NFD and a better IFG. I want infos, I want facts, I want access to the files. Also VS NFD and a better IFG. Greetings from your translation booth. This was Athena, Milad, and Oscar. Please check us out on c3lingo.org.
And feel free to leave feedback at hello.c3lingo.org or using the hashtag C3T on Mastodon. Thank you very much.